My dear brethren, I do express a warm welcome to you all to this 10th Anglesey Convention in Australia. And by the Lord's grace, we are privileged to gather here today in the few days. And year after year, we have been blessed by many conventions. For some of us, it may be the last convention. We are so happy that you are able to have joined us to deliberate on God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the divine plan of the ages. All scriptures I'll be quoting will be from the New American Standard Version, unless otherwise stated. It's pretty hard to go past in opening with Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, which you know so well. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yes, brethren, the day is really drawing near. Our regular classes are getting smaller and smaller, but we are so much encouraged by our Lord Jesus' words. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." We have a few more here today. The opening scripture of Hebrews 10:25 indicates a real mutual advantage in discussing spiritual things that are provoking, inciting under the love of the Lord and each other in good works that will glorify our dear Heavenly Father and bless the brotherhood. Wherever we have that opportunity is the charter. There is more of a need for association and fellowship today, and that this assembling will become even more and more important in the future. And the purpose of assembling is to exhort one another. And this gathering exhorting is so much more important as we see that day approaching. That day can be viewed in many different ways. It could be the church's time of trouble and the deliverance or the abounding iniquity that's becoming more and more prevalent as trouble approaches. Therefore, we need to keep assembling for self-preservation, protection, and helping each other. As the testing becomes more severe, we will need more encouraging and helping one another to helping us stand. And the additional understanding will be essential to counteract the increasing trials, persecutions, experiences, and discouragements of the future. Therefore, fellowship is of utmost importance. The Holy Spirit renews our minds and does have an influence on us as we mutually desire to be in new channels of fellowship, discussion, and enjoyment. Our dear Heavenly Father says that His people have a responsibility and respect to give a helping hand to study, to encourage, and to bless, to build each other up in the most holy faith. Along the way, instructions are repeated for mutual fellowship and regular association. And through the assembling, the Lord is with us and He grants us a blessing. Let us not forsake it. How we yearn to join our Lord, and there are clear evidences that our deliverance is drawing nigh. In opening, it's pretty hard to go also past the famous Malachi verse, Malachi 3:16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name." So as we speak, our Lord hearkens and he hears and he has an interest in our conversations, in what will be, he will hear this weekend. Things undoubtedly that are edifying and helpful to understand his grand plan and his character. James chapter 4 and verse 6 states, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. By being in the right attitude, the Lord has enjoyed so much when we come together in his name to edify, to build each other up in all fruits and graces of the Spirit. As we consider to provoke to love and good works, other weaknesses will creep in along the way. We must avoid that which would anger, but everything that would have a view to love and kindness. The world, the flesh and the devil, as mentioned in the manner of text, will provoke envy and evil intent by thought and by deed. New creatures should at all times abstain from such provocation, or engage in behaving in the very verse direction of what is love and good works. We have prayed for the planning and the sacrifice for this convention, and we are so thankful to be able to gather together peacefully once again. It will be undoubtedly a wonderful feast over the next 3 days. We do feel confident that the Heavenly Father and our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, are especially interested in the activities of our convention. They have been watching over our preparation, undoubtedly. As usual, there have been lots of details to be planned for the convention. The first decision was to the choosing of a theme text, and Matthew 5:14 was chosen. We recall the Lord made it part of his memorable Sermon on the Mount, and it reads in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." I don't want to take too many thoughts from the theme discourse on this particular chapter and verse. By being the light of the world, though, we are enlightened. And since we have that light, we do have a responsibility to let it shine forth. Not only in word we speak, but our behaviour and our character development along the way. The teachings and doctrines over the next few days from the speakers and our Bible studies bring to our minds many truths of God's word. We, as the dear Heavenly Father's children, will be richly blessed as we talk over and discuss the divine plan, divine goodness, divine love, justice and wisdom. As light bearers beyond the borders of the country, we will hear reports of our brethren in foreign lands, of possibly Romania, India, Europe, the Philippines and South Korea. We have brethren in so many far off countries and places. Some are solo and are isolated, and they very much need our help, our interest and our prayers. They are thinking of us and praying for our spiritual blessing. What a blessing Bible truth will bring as we endeavour to help to encourage one another in psalms as well as in spiritual songs, refreshing each other's minds with the exceeding great and precious promises and singing musical praises to our dear Heavenly Father. It's a little bit like the old temple of Israel's temple singers, and we raise our voices with hymns of praise. In hymns, our voices blending our praise and adoration of words of encouragement to take us upward to the heavenly realms. By having fellowship, we talk with those we have not seen for some time, and those from far off places, like our dear brethren from the USA and the visiting brother from Poland, to whom I extend a very warm welcome. We are light bearers, and we do have a responsibility in our fellowship. It is only too human for fellowship and conversation to become that what would be less than spiritually profitable. One of our responsibilities is that our fellowship, our conversations will be uplifting, edifying and profitable. At meal times, do not become homing pigeons. Try sitting with someone else and having a meal with other brethren. Get to know each other more. We also have a responsibility that this convention will leave us filled with blessings, nourishment, and even more responsible. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, I'm reading from the latter part of the verse. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. In fact, much is required. By being a recipient of the glorious blessings, we are automatically responsible for our Christian growth and our improvement. You will be accountable for the light that has been given to you. By experiences at this convention, we have to increase responsibility of our character development. The appropriate fruitage, witnessing, love you will feel over these 3 days. We are in the house of the Lord and also have a responsibility to benefit as much as is possible from the presentations that come from this platform. By being quietly in place and prior to the beginning of each service, I know it's hard to do, it's hard for me to do, but let's all do it together. Then we'll enjoy it even more if we are peaceful and are in our seats 5 minutes prior to each session. Undoubtedly, the speakers are ready to help us. My dear brethren, remember, the responsibility is to benefit from each other and the little things that will come to you. It's helpful to us if we can absorb as much as possible that the presenters are giving us. Having a pencil, a notebook, I am of the old school, or an iPad, to record some of the golden jewels on each day of our convention. So, what are we looking for during these days? What are we expecting here? To be built up, to be nourished, to be fed. And the results will make us even more fervent in the spirit than we have ever been before. So what builds us up? It's faith. Wise counsel is to keep close to the scriptures of God's word. That is the best source of input for our spiritual growth. Prophecy, character development, doctrine, the word of God gives us the basis of our faith and hope. It is the instrument that shows us our scriptural shortcomings. The truth of God's word directs us to promises and conditions upon which those promises are made. To be legitimate sons of God, we must suffer tribulation. In some manner, and in some standing for the truth and in our decision making. I'd like to quote Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Love and justice need to be balanced so that they are harmonious with each other and some manner in studying for the truth and in decision making. And we can be assured that our time spent here during the 3 days will leave us more effectively holding fast to the profession of our faith. We hear about the religion that is pure and undefiled. And this expression was used by James in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James meant much more than just merely calling upon a widow to offer a word of sympathy and condolences. The plight of orphans and widows in the first century was desperate indeed. No social security in those days. The words of James would have no meaning unless they imply rendering practical assistance to those thus bereaved. But there can be both literal and a spiritual meaning regarding orphans and widows. We are to preach the word to others so that they will get a heavenly Father as a father, and that those that are spiritually hungry and lonely, widows, will be espoused to Christ. One meaning is along practical and natural lines of daily living, showing concern and interest for others among the brotherhood. From the spiritual standing, the gospel message is the best medicine of all. The word unsustained in the verse, making straight paths for your feet and thinking and avoiding harmful situations. So when our robes become spotted, we must wash them by asking forgiveness in Jesus' name. Practical lines of daily living and showing concern and interest in others amongst the brotherhood. This garment should be embroidered with all the graces of the Lord's character. Therefore, such are more likely to learn the lessons of life and be fitted for the future work of the church. Our Lord's words, in one sense, to be in the world but not of the world, as John 15:19 presents. In referring to a practicing Christian is one who has made their faith a personal thing and goes on from that to make their Christianity effective in the world. Such are separated by their consecration. They are associated with the word with their service. Service to fellow men, which is also service to God. And such are the light of the world, showing out outwardly an illumination. Holding forth the bread of life, the bread which they have received from the one who gives the living bread from heaven. Their service is according to their ability and opportunity, always convening to others something of the good they have received, showing something of the life that they live in Christ. Every aspect of their lives has to be shaped and controlled by the faith for which they stand. They have learned to effect the proper division between outward works and inward piety, between service for the world and preparation for the next. And in so doing, they are becoming well fitted for appointment to the exalted position of joint heirship with Christ, to be priests and kings for the worldwide work of the next age. Our Saviour declared they were to be in the world but not of the world. James shows us pure religion is a behaviour that helps those in affliction, and by staying away from the distracting things of the world, what we will be undoubtedly reminded of over the next 3 days. Will we listen lessons that are specifically needed as the Lord reprimands us individually? Two scriptures in Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. And Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? I'd like to quote a segment from the Daily Heavenly Manna that we read 1 week ago on a Sunday, and it's in the Manna of the 20th of January. Quote, character cannot be developed without trial. It is like a plant. At first it is very tender. It needs an abundance of the sunshine of God's love. Frequent watering with the showers of his grace, much cultivating through the applied knowledge of his character as a good foundation for faith and inspiration to obedience, and then when thus developed under those favourable conditions, it is ready for the pruning hand of discipline and is also able to endure some hardness. And little by little, as strength of character is developed, the tests applied to it serve only to develop more strength, beauty and grace, until it is finally fixed, developed, established, perfected through suffering. So according to Hebrews 12 and 7, a prerequisite for being a son of God is to endure discipline. The child is reared by the parents to have the finest character. Our spiritual Heavenly Father wants the Christian character to develop to the highest degree that would suit him with a spiritual nature. Great blessings of our time together here will be for something the Lord says will be specific to you or to me. Therefore, let us be attentive, brethren. There's another responsibility, or rather I should say another privilege. We have here is taking the good news of this convention back home to those who could not be here with us. When we end our convention, it would be a most noble gesture for many of us, if we can, to visit brethren from our own areas that do need encouragement. There are dear ones at home today shedding gentle tears because they are not with us today. Perhaps ill health, old age, or some other adverse circumstances that prevented them from being here. Remember them when we get home. Some have been in the past with us for so many years, and so many served us at our conventions. Let us not forget them. We hear much of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, and James 3:17 reads, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy." The wisdom that is from above is pure. Words and actions should at all times be true, pure, holy, wholesome and clean. Peaceable, that which promotes peace, as Ephesians 4 and 3 brings out. Gentle, considering the feelings of others as long as we do not compromise principle. Reasonable, open to reason, willing to yield to reason, not being stubborn. Full of mercy, having that readiness to forgive, having that olive branch there. Full of good fruits, an attitude which is spiritually productive, constructive, nourishing, being full of the Holy Spirit. Without partiality in the King James Version reads, or an unwavering in the New American, without injustice or partiality. And finally, without hypocrisy, it means to be sincere and not pretending to be what it is not. The Heavenly Council in the Lord's Word has been around for centuries. It has been in our hands for quite a few years. Let us these days help us to examine ourselves afresh to know the conditions of our own heart. By being peaceable, they promote peace. I quoted Ephesians 4 and 3 before, but let's read it. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Fruits and graces need to be worked at most diligently. They must have a high priority in our lives. We must be patient at all times in the most trying circumstances. Rejoice as we grow in fruitage of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with ourselves. And I like to borrow a line or two from the first volume. I know it's designed for the human race when it is finally restored. But parts can apply to us today. So let's pick some of those parts. I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. That's what it opens up with. I hope I can read this through. Close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe, degradation and sorrow that yet prevail on account of sin. And picture beyond your mental vision the glory of a perfect earth. Not a stain of sin mars the harmony and the peace of a perfect society. Not a bit of thought. not an unkind look or word. Love, welling up from every heart, meets a kindred response in every other heart, and benevolence marks every act. Their sickness will be no more, nor an ache, nor a pain, nor any evidences of decay, and even the fear of such things. Think of all the pictures of comparative health and beauty that you have ever seen, and know that perfect humanity will be still surpassing loveliness. Then inward purity and mental and moral perfection will stamp out and glorify every radiant countenance. Such will earth's society be, and weeping bereaved ones will have their tears all wiped away, when thus they realize the resurrection work complete. Isn't that beautiful? It sounds almost too good to be true. In fact, it is just too good in the reverse to not be true. For it is the prearranged plan of God for the human race. This is what the Bible holds in store. This is the picture of the divine architect's finished structure, not the disarray, the confusion, and the evil we see around us today in the building phase of that plan. Can we get any closer to that kind of condition? Can we live in that day of the Lord? Just try to picture it in your minds mentally. Can we live these few days with this kind of heart and this attitude? What we will hear will be things that will stir your heart, your mind, your conscience. That's why you came here to this convention. Why we planned our priorities and sacrificed and we finally came. We so much want to be drawn to the Heavenly Father and His Son. We come for help to fulfill your personal vows of consecration as well. To be closer to the brethren in bonds of Christian love. You knew you could receive instruction. By having been here before, we know what to expect. Others are here possibly for the first time. Think about the effect you can have on a child of God, and some have been coming every year of their life. In reflecting, so many years have gone by, and we have seen many of the Lord's dear ones pass beyond the veil, some near and dear to us. Not many brethren are left. When some 57 years ago I came to Australia with my parents, many of us remember travelling to the conventions in Adelaide, Canberra, Queensland. What about the old Melbourne Swan Street Masonic Lodge in Richmond? This year we have brethren from the USA and Poland, as I mentioned. But can some of you remember the feast we had back in the early 1960s, of you who were around, when Brother Carl and his family, the Niemieckis and others came here? Yes, so many friendships were made. Memories remain, as some of them have also gone beyond the veil. Within our Melbourne convention, we journeyed from Richmond to Campbell, then to the Basin, then to Marysville. That got burnt out shortly after our four-day conventions about 10 years ago. Oh yes, the legacy of conventions, they are our spiritual feasts. And yes, we have been a few times here at Anglesey. This is number 10. I recall when I was in Richmond, the small classes, the 5 to 7 year olds that I attended, and 8 to 12s, some were called and chosen and are helping and encouraging us and even counselling us. I recall Vespers, the children sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know," praising God with their small voices. Instruction in Scripture and love of the Lord continues to this day. Proverbs 22:6 is hard to miss. "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Yes, the words, "he will not depart from it," and that is why you came. You knew what marvellous instructions are available here for your children and grandchildren. Yes, there are many reasons to say it's good to be here. by sitting at the feast of our Lord Jesus, we relive our Christian lives. Thoughts from the platform remind us of our experiences and discussions we had many years ago. And we are quite often reminded of brethren who had a big impact on our lives. We learn a lot of lessons. Many come hard, they're given over and over again. Lesson, most of all, is what a privilege it is to walk as one of the Lord's people. It has been a blessing in this life. If we are faithful unto death, we will have that privilege of helping the world in the next age. Some will begin a new era in their life, being immersed later on this year, and we believe the call to the high calling of God is still open, as Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, for all these reasons, we once again are gathered in 2019 for the 10th Anglesey Convention here in Australia. The world will know very little what goes on here over the next 3 days. Most of Australia will be focused on the Australia Day activities today or on sporting activities. But we are confident that our dear Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the guardian angels are attentive and pleased with each detail. And during these days, let us focus on blessing and not murmuring, of building up and not discouragement. Let's all ensure we take the positives from our gatherings. The picture of Israel comes to mind as they congregated on the steps of the temple, fervent in spirit, wanting to get closer to the Lord, wanting to learn of His ways, growing in love. And our dear Heavenly Father Jehovah is very pleased to see His children gather at the steps of His temple. I'd like to close with two scriptures from the Old Testament. Psalm 50:5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And it's pretty hard to go past Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I am sure it will be a wonderful few days. And from the very bottom of my heart, may God bless you, may God keep you, and may you all have a blessed and edifying and uplifting time here today. I've forgotten the opening because I came late for the meeting, for the convention, but my mother, Sister Lydia, sends a warm Christian love, as does my wife, Sister Margaret, and Brother Edward from India as well. Amen.